Christian Parenting.
Aloha, friends, and welcome to the Monica Swanson Podcast, powered by Christian Parenting. I am Monica Swanson, mom to four boys, wife to Dr. Dave, podcast host, and author of Boy Mom, Raising Amazing, and the newly released Becoming Homeschoolers. Here on the podcast, it is my goal to bring you practical advice and biblical wisdom for raising amazing kids and building strong families. You can always find show notes over at monicaswanson.com/podcast. I'm so glad you're here, and I hope you'll be encouraged. Hey friends, welcome back to the podcast. And I want to extend an especially warm welcome to all the dads out there. Happy Father's Day week. We're dedicating this episode to all the dads. I know the moms are going to love it too. But ladies, I hope you can listen with your men or maybe send this episode along to the dads in your life because I think they'll be encouraged. Our friend Andrew Poudois is with us. Andrew is the man behind the Institute for Excellence in Writing. He has a homeschool curriculum as well as curriculum that's used in many schools all over the world. Andrew also travels and speaks a lot. And I heard a talk he gave called The Three, Maybe Four Best Things I Did as a Dad. And I enjoyed it so much. I invited Andrew to come on and share some of that with all of you. So I was really grateful that he could do that. Andrew is a household name around here. My boys have just loved his curriculums. So if you happen to be a homeschool family or thinking about it, you'll see the Institute for Excellence in Writing, IEW, we call it, mentioned in my book, Becoming Homeschoolers, which is available everywhere now. But I'll also link to IEW over in show notes. It's a curriculum I highly recommend. And I think you'll just enjoy getting to know Andrew in today's conversation. But before we get into that, I want to make sure you know that this week, the doors to my character training course are open. They will close next Monday, June 17th. So if you're catching this as it comes out, be sure to check the link in show notes or go directly to monicaswanson.com/character-course to see everything that's in there. But here's what I know. Character changes everything. It makes family life better. It improves your kids' life. And it helps them reach all their goals, all the things you dream about for your kids, from their relationships to their future jobs and education and sports. Character is key. And it's something our culture today is not focused on. Your kids are not going to get good character by chance. They're certainly not going to pick it up out and about with their friends in their schools or in our culture. So it's up to us, mom and dad, to cultivate great character in our kids, and I'm here to help you. And again, if this is all new to you, just make sure to go over to the course page to see everything that's in the course. It's very doable, short modules. Moms and dads can go through this together, and I believe your families will be blessed. Here's a couple quick endorsements from current course students. Laura S. says this. She says, the character training course is a rich resource providing practical guidance to help instill godly character traits in our kids. I like that the course emphasizes that who we are and whose we are matter so much more than any worldly achievements. Character counts. Thank you, Laura. I love that so much. Also, Megan S. says, this course is like a parenting mentor, a go-to for questions, all things building character in my kids. I so appreciate the honesty and the hopeful tone of it all. Thank you, Megan. You guys, I have been blessed to hear from families all over the world who say the character training course really changed the trajectory of their family all around. If you've got some sticky character situations or you just want a good start with those kids when they're young, this is where you go to find everything you need. My resource list grows every year as I'm constantly updating it, adding to it, adding special features and modules. So again, go over to monicaswanson.com/character-course. Check it out, okay? Doors will close soon, and I can't let you in until the next opening, which hopefully will be next fall, but summer is the best time to do this, all right? Now, without further ado, let's jump in and talk to Andrew Poudois. I will warn you, he was recording from a hotel before he spoke at a conference, so the sound is not the highest quality, but we decided that the content was so good, it was worth sharing anyway. So thank you for your patience with that, and I hope you are encouraged. Andrew, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Monica. It's always good to talk to you.
I have been so excited to get to have you back on. We've talked before on your podcast and on mine. Your name is a bit of a household word around here. We've used your IEW curriculums for years, and we all just love you. And anytime someone in the family hears your voice, it's just like, it's almost like, you know, you're part of the family.
Wonderful.
Yes. And I was recently re-listening to a talk that you give at homeschool conferences and is on your podcast, which we'll link to. But it's a talk specifically for fathers. I think moms will get a lot out of this as well. But because we are getting ready to celebrate Father's Day as this airs, I invited you on because I thought this was such a good word that you might share some of your thoughts with the dads. But before we hop in, for those who don't know you, can you just give a quick introduction?
Yeah, sure. My wife and I have 7 children. All are grown. We are now up to 16 plus 2 on the way, grandchildren, which is by far the absolute best thing about life and possibly the only really good thing about getting old. Most of our children were homeschooled for most of the years. We put a kid in school every now and then, kind of either as an experiment or an attempt to save mom's sanity.
Yeah.
But I kind of discovered even if you put kids in school, you still have to teach them everything anyway. So why do it? I have a little company called the Institute for Excellence in Writing, or IEW, and we publish curriculum pertaining to the arts of language, listening, speaking, reading, and mostly we focus on writing, composition, and grammar. We've got video courses for parents and teachers, kids of all ages, lots and lots of books and resources. And then I have a podcast myself you've been on called the Arts of Language Podcast. And so you can find out all about that and more if you wish at IEW.com.
Awesome. So good. Well, I'm excited for this topic. And so I think we'll just dive right in. We want to encourage the dads here. We know that dads are so important. I'm so grateful for good dads who, you know, work so hard. And when it comes to homeschooling, I know my husband has played an important role, though it looks very different from mine. So you're going to talk to us about three of the best, you have a talk that is 3, maybe 4, right, of the best things you did as a father. And we're going to squeeze in 3 of them here, and then I'm going to point people over to your podcast where they can catch the maybe 4. Let's start with number 1. What is one of the best things you did as a dad?
Well, I would just say that I know these are the best things because this is what my wife would say.
Okay.
If you asked her, what did Andrew Boudoir do to help you, I think she would list these 3 or 4 things. The first one is by far the most important, and it's also something that every dad can do, I believe. And it's not specific to the homeschool world, but it's read aloud to the whole family. And, you know, I think this is especially important in today's world where we're just so instantly attracted by screens. And you know, if there's a screen in the room, everybody wants it on. The kids want it on. They want to watch movies. You know, dads maybe like sports. But the problem is it's radically passive. Mm. It doesn't engage the imagination or the intellect. Mm. And the quality of the language that comes through most video content, whether it's movies or, you know, other things, it's not going to do what I would say is the most important benefit of reading aloud to someone, which is it builds the vocabulary, it builds the syntax, it builds the literary sense that is actually going to make the superior speaking, reading, and writing skills. Mm-hmm. You know, those 3 things are all based on the vocabulary and the sense of language that's acquired through the ear.
Yes.
If we only rely on the you know, language that comes through just daily life and the busyness of daily life and just, you know, getting through and doing all the stuff you have to do and managing, or, you know, movies, TV shows, videos. A lot of them are funny and amusing, but very few of them reach the level of language that's going to cultivate a really competent, skilled communicator.
Wow.
And as a teacher of writing, I discovered long ago, I can't get any words, any sentence patterns. I can't get language out of a child's mind that doesn't have a good database of reliably correct and appropriately sophisticated English. So if someone walked up to me on the street and said, "Oh, I heard you know something about helping kids learn to write well, and I would like this kid to be a good writer 20 years from now. What should I do?" I would give them, the lecture on how reading aloud to children builds the sophisticated language patterns and that, I guess, literary sense of how to use words artistically, beautifully, effectively to communicate ideas winsomely. Mm. And that's what we get from books that we really can't get anywhere else.
Wow. Okay. So how early did you start this? Was this more something you brought in later? When did you start reading aloud to your kids?
Well, I may be a little bit of an extremist, but I was reading Shakespeare plays aloud to my first child when she was 9 months old.
Oh boy.
And the reason wasn't because I expected her to understand anything. I discovered that reading to her would help her go to sleep. And I wanted to read Shakespeare because I didn't, have time to do it.
Okay.
And so I just picked it up and I started. It's kind of a habit. But, I think you can start any time. Children love picture books. Children love to watch the words go by, watch the pages go by, hear the story. They'll listen to the same story again and again and again.
Yes.
But once you've got kids in the, 6, 7, 8 years old and up range, then you want to shift over to books that have fewer or maybe no pictures so that they are, creating those images in their mind.
Yes.
There's really nothing better than hearing a good story to cultivate the imaginative skills that are connected with language development. If you don't know, if you don't have an image for a word, you don't really understand it.
Yeah.
If you don't have a set of experiences connected with the language you're hearing, then it doesn't mean anything to you.
Right.
So the good and great books are what humans have relied on for centuries, millennia, to build that imagination and get a strong anchor of those skills in listening and reading and speaking and writing.
Yes.
The other thing that I kind of discovered is that reading a book to the whole family, which is what I'm always recommending. So you read a book to the whole family, it's a little bit like taking a trip together. You can take a family trip, once a year, twice a year, maybe, and there's adventures and there's specific language, the places you went, the things you saw, etc. But you can't do that so often. You can, however, be on a continuous journey and a continuous sequence of journeys by reading to the whole family. So everyone's taking that trip into that world. Maybe it's an ancient world or a early, colonial world, or maybe it's a medieval world, or maybe it's a science fiction or fantasy world. And as kids grow up, they will remember those books that you read aloud to them.
Yes.
And I've even seen my adult children will something will happen in life and one of them will say to the one, that's like when Dad read Penrod. Do you remember that?
Right.
And they relate to it in the same way they might say, "Oh, I remember when we went to Catalina Island or whatever."
Yes.
So
I love that.
It's that shared experience value. And the great thing about dads getting involved is, number one, it requires no prep time at all. You just pick up a book and read it.
Love it.
And the second thing, is that it is that time with dad that can be, you know, hard to squeeze out of a day. You know, kids, if they go to school, they go, they come home, they're exhausted, they have homework. Mom maybe works too, very busy. Someone's trying to get food together. Dad comes home. Maybe he's got work to do at home, or he comes home late. And, you know, how do you create a rhythm of life where you can just all be in the same room together, sharing an experience for half an hour, 45 minutes, most days of the week?
Yes. And I think that oftentimes it's the moms who read aloud. You know, a lot of my listeners, you know, we've talked about reading aloud and how important that is. But I love that you emphasize the fathers. And I believe you have had a time where your kids were getting a little bit older, some of them. I know you had many kids, so there was an age range, but where you kind of made a change and decided that you're going to read something. Isn't that part of your family story?
Yeah, I was kind of getting into teaching people about how to cultivate good writers, because that's my job. And I realized that, you know, I understood the need for high quality input, but I also understood how blasted busy everyone is all the time. And so I did. I got that kind of conviction, like, you know, the Lord put it on my heart. You need to practice what you're preaching here and read to these kids. So I did. This was way back when the very first Lord of the Rings movie was coming out. And there was a lot of hype about this. And so I announced at the dinner table one night, family, new law. No one's going to go see that movie, Lord of the Rings, when it comes out at Christmas until I, the dad, have read this entire book aloud to you. And we start tonight, and there is no opting out. And so we did. And I quickly learned a few things about my children I had not noticed before. You know, even though I had been working at home almost all the time, it was kind of this upfront view. Number one, teenagers have a harder time sitting still than little kids. Because it was the teenager. It was like, do I really have to sit here and listen to you read this? Because, you know, I got things I want to do. And I already read this book. I'll read it again if you want to make me do it. But why do I have to sit here? And I just said, you will sit here and you will listen and you will enjoy it. And then she got into crocheting, and that helped because what I have noticed is if kids' hands are busy, if they're coloring or playing with Legos or crocheting or just doing something with their body, it frees up their mind to be even more absorbent and attentive. It's a little counterintuitive because one of the other things I learned is that you can't judge attentiveness by behavior.
Right.
You know, I was looking at my son, and he wasn't even, I think he was six at the time. So this book, Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring, pretty high above, you know, what you would normally read to a six-year-old. And he was deep into the Lego world, you know, talking to his Lego pieces and moving around. And he looked 100% focused. But then after a while, I got the habit of asking everybody, you know, before I would start reading, I would ask them, do you remember what we heard yesterday? And he would be always be the one to say, oh, yeah, well, Legolas and Gimli were arguing about blah, 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 blah.
Wow.
And he could narrate the whole thing back. And I just remember thinking, wow. You even heard that, let alone remembered anything. That's amazing.
So cool.
And a few pointers I would give on this to dads. Number one, read a book that you want to read. Because if you're having a good time, if you're enjoying the book and you're looking forward to it, the kids will all be having a good time.
Right.
If you are not enjoying the book and you're kind of dreading it, then everybody else is going to dread it. So. You know, I would go to a book that you remember reading when you were young, and it doesn't matter whether the kids are read it or not. A good book, you can read any number of times and still get value out of it. You know, there's books I read every single year. I read A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens every single year, at least for a decade.
All right.
And nobody ever said, oh, don't read that again. We already know what happens. It's such a rich story and engaging. So read a book you want to read. Second thing I suggest is do read whole books. I love short stories. I love fairy tales. I love bedtime stories. But if you read a book, you kind of get into it, get to the end of the chapter, you kind of think or say, I wonder if we have time for another chapter. And, you know, look at your kids, you look at your wife, you look at the clock, you look at your wife, you look at the kids and say, yes, I think we do. And the kids are like, yay, Dad! And you read another chapter. So you actually get more done if you read whole books that kind of drive it.
I love it.
And then the third thing is it kind of has to be non-optional. If you're going to read to the family, everyone has to be in the room. And like I said, you know, I let people do stuff once in a while. One kid would be doing her math homework, or mom would be doing some research on her, you know, laptop, you know, but everyone in the room, that way it's the shared experience. But if you start, you know, letting people opt out because they're busy or they don't want to, or they got something else they'd rather do, well, then pretty soon they're all gone and it's just you and the 4-year-old in the picture book. So getting the whole crew in and just making it a lifestyle change. And, you know, if you're going to do something, you have to not do something else.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know,
trade.
You know, Dad's got to figure out what am I going to give up in order to do this? You know, maybe for some, like I said, that's, you know, sports or hobby. For me, it was work. I'm total workaholic, building a business, working at home just every day, all day. So you do have to give up something. But, you know, I always say, Dad, I don't think any of us are going to go to our deathbed and say, well, if I could have stolen half an hour from my family every day, I could die with my inbox empty. And wouldn't that be great?
Wow.
We're going to go the opposite way and say, if I just trashed the inbox and stole that time and gave it to my family when the kids were with me, the world would be a better place.
So, wow. Okay.
Kind of some suggestions there.
Such good perspective. Super important for all of us to think on that.
Hey friends, want to simplify family meals this summer? With HelloFresh, you get farm fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. HelloFresh's line of kid-friendly recipes are picky eater-proof and perfect for families looking to shake up their dinner recipe rotation while school's out for the summer. Heading out on vacation? Just update your delivery address and enjoy HelloFresh meals at your vacation destination. Plans are flexible, so they work with your changing schedule. I'm a big fan of the tastes of summer, and I appreciate that HelloFresh has seasonal produce picked at peak ripeness and delivered straight from the farm to your door in less than a week. Now here's a fun offer. Go to HelloFresh.com/MonicaApps for free appetizers for life. One appetizer item per box while subscription is active. That's free appetizers for life at HelloFresh.com/MonicaApps. Remember, HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit.
Okay, so number one, read aloud, and we'll include some book recs as well over in show notes where to get started. So what's the second thing you did that was one of the best things you did as a dad?
Yeah, the second thing, I really resisted this. There's a book with a title. I like the title very much because it means I don't have to read the book. It's Death by Meeting by Patrick Lencioni. And I just thought, that's enough. All I need to know is minimize meetings and I'll live longer.
Yeah.
And I've always really disliked business meetings of really almost every sort.
Yeah.
And so when I heard this idea, I rebelled against it. But deep in my soul, I knew, again, I was convicted, and that was a formal, once a week, whenever possible, family meeting.
Wow.
With everybody there, around the dining room table, with notes, and an agenda, and all the trappings of a real meeting, and...
Don't run off, men. I know somebody's like, okay, I've heard enough, I'm out. So hang in there. Let's hear, because you were resistant, you just said... And I know my husband would be. Yeah, so go ahead.
Well, I knew when I heard the idea and I reflected on my wife, I realized, and we had a lot of kids. There were 7 total, and there always seemed to be, you know, three or four or five or six at home. They kind of, once they got older, they would leave and come back, and then there was new ones coming in. And my wife would be the first to admit that organization is not her strong point.
Same.
And so then, you know, things would slip through the cracks, and the kids would get irritated, and then mom would get angry at them. And I thought, we really need to, we need to have a few things we do every week to streamline the communication.
Okay.
So the first thing that I would always do is we would say a prayer and have a little scripture reading. Just to, you know, set the, take the time. You got everybody at the table. You might as well do that.
Yes.
And then the first agenda item was schedule for the week, the calendar.
Okay.
We've got to go over, you know, everybody's expectations and needs, because my wife was kind of trying to organize things with yellow stickies on a calendar on the refrigerator. And it didn't always work. And then, you know, especially you got teenagers, you got a 14-year-old, can't drive themselves, but has this thing they really want to do. Well, I told you, Mom, I needed to go. Well, I'm sorry, I can't do that right now. But you said, you know, and this kind of, you know, arguing.
Tension.
So if we got into the calendar, okay, every day, who needs to go where? What needs to happen? What are the expectations? And that way, if something comes up later in the week, you know, and says, but Mom, you got to take me. Mom can say, well, it, you know, I don't have to because it wasn't on the review of the calendar for the week.
Okay.
Let's talk about it.
Fair
maybe
enough.
I can, maybe I can't. But it diffuses it, that. So that was the first thing. And that was probably the easiest part of it. But it was very helpful. And then the next part was basically a homework review. So, you know, the kids had their schoolwork and chores, and they had their checklists and all this stuff. And we're a, you know, for many, many years, we're a very, very low screen family, because I was trying to read out loud to them all the time. But we would only watch one thing a week, and it would be Saturday night. And if you got all of your homework and chores and schoolwork done, you could watch the movie with the family. And if you didn't, you're banished to your room.
Wow.
So it's a pretty serious, you know, penalty, at least
I love
in some
it.
People's minds.
Yeah.
And so we would go over and say, you know, okay, has everyone done everything? And if you didn't, what's your excuse? And is that a valid excuse? And then I would make the determination, yes. And I usually did the meeting so there was enough time that if you didn't do the thing you were supposed to get done by Saturday evening,
okay,
you had a little bit of time to go do it quickly.
Right. I'm thinking that whatever kind of school people have their kids in, whether they're homeschooled or they go to a traditional school, I also see this as, I don't know if this is how you used it, but I could see using this as an opportunity for kids to maybe share something. Like how often my homeschooled kids would write a paper and I would, you know, edit it and review it with them. And then it goes files away and they don't really have anyone to share it with. Or maybe kids who go to school do something like a paper or something, but don't really, mom and dad don't ever even know about it or read it. And so maybe this, especially for families that don't have seven children, but if you have the ability, this could be a time where kids could share something that they did that week as well. Maybe.
Yeah, I like that. And you could, you know, put it as an agenda item too, which is, you know, someone read their story or or tell. We found the meetings would get longer than we wanted them anyway.
Yeah.
So
maybe
having a separate time for that would have been helpful.
Yes.
The meat of the meeting was in the next agenda item, which was called problems, complaints, and requests. And this is where anybody could complain about anything they wanted to complain about. And you know how the kids have issues with each other, you know, dumb little things like she won't keep her stuff on her side of the room.
Yeah.
You know, or he's being mean to me, or whenever he does the dishes, they're dirty, you know, whatever they're whining about. So that was really helpful, because what I would do is, you know, kind of using that talking stick idea. It's okay. You can say whatever you want to say. Nobody's going to interrupt you. Nobody's going to argue or, you know, retort back. Okay, I hear you. So, Julia, what you're saying is that Fiona is throwing her stuff all over your side of the room and you don't like that. Okay, Fiona, would you be willing to try and keep your stuff on your side of the room? Okay, all right, give it a shot. And, you know, okay, Julia, you said that Chris is being mean to you. Chris, are you being mean to Julia? Well, she's being mean to me, and she says mean all the time. Okay, so both of you are unhappy that you're being mean to each other. Would you both try to not be, say, mean things to each other? And okay, fine. All right, so you'd go through the whole list, and sometimes it was complaints about me, you know, so I had to eat a little, you know, humility and honesty and transparency there too. But we would go through the whole list, and I would essentially try to get an agreement or make agreements to resolve some of these, you know. Now, this was really helpful because in the middle of the week, someone would come to Mom and say, Mom, so-and-so is doing such and so. And she would just say, oh, you know what? Excellent. Bring that to the family meeting.
Okay.
And then she didn't have to stop whatever she was doing to referee some dumb little conflict that was going on.
Right.
And that way the child would think, okay, all right, I'll bring it to the family meeting.
Yes.
I'll be heard.
Yes.
And that's what you really want, is to be heard.
Right? Of course. Yes. So would they need to put it in writing or just come and vocalize it at the meeting?
No, they could just say it,
all right,
you know, at the meeting. All right. Maybe I think sometimes they would write stuff down so they wouldn't forget.
Sure.
but that sometimes would take quite a while. The problems, complaints, requests.
Yeah.
Section. And I had a form that I printed out, and it was mostly blank space,
okay,
but it had the agenda and okay, space for people to write things. So I said, everybody write down everything. And if you're too young to write, draw pictures, I don't care, but you know, keep yourself focused. Then the next segment of the family meeting was progress report.
Ooh.
And this is where I would go through the previous week's problems, complaints, and requests, and see if there's been progress. So, okay, last week, Julia said that Fiona was leaving her stuff all over her side of the room. Julia, has this improved?
Still
yeah, good. I guess so.
Yeah.
Great. Good job, Fiona. You've improved. Keep going with that. That's a great way to live together and share a room and not have conflict. And just go down the list. Has this improved? If it has improved, great. If not, well, then we revisit this. And, you know, it was very interesting to see how things would move, you know,
yes,
from the problems, complaints, requests to the progress, and then either, you know, stay on the list for another week or move off.
I love it. So good.
And so that was the bulk of this meeting. And then the last part would be, I would usually choose a quote. And I've got several books of quotes,
right,
and things that we use for public speaking stuff and all that. But I would put the quote in, and then I would say, okay, here's a quote. Do you agree with this? If so, why? Or do you disagree with this in some way? And if so, why? And we would just have a little kind of philosophical discussion to lower the temperature in the room after,
yeah,
you know, the problems section.
I love
that. And then we would always finish up with ice cream.
Ah.
And we, again, were a dessert was a rare occurrence in our home.
Okay.
So, you know, a once a week ice cream thing to look forward to after we had all weathered the emotional turbulence.
Right. Which I'm sure motivated many a child to make it through the meeting knowing ice cream was coming at the end, right?
I hope so. And I found, Monica, I recently moved a bunch of stuff that was in storage to a new place. And I started looking through these boxes and I found a binder of family meeting notes from, you know, back when I had four kids at home, you know,
what a 15, treasure.
17 years ago, it was a joy. And you also look through it, you think all those things that seemed so important at the time, you know,
yeah,
it's just life.
Oh goodness. That's a treasure. So special. I'm sure the kids will enjoy reading through those as well. Okay. So this brings us to number three, third of maybe four things that you did as a dad that you would recommend other fathers do.
Yeah, well, this is probably more what you would think of if you're homeschooling. I think that any dads could do it.
I do too.
And that is teach a class to your children and a few other people's children.
I love it.
Like schedule a class. Mm. And, you know, it doesn't have to be during the school day. It could be on a weekend. It could be on a weeknight. It could be whenever. I worked at home, so I had a pretty flexible schedule. Mm-hmm. But I always realized that, especially because I'm a teacher, if I kind of wait till I have time to teach my own kids, I'm never going to do it. Yeah. It's, you know, the cobbler's kids have no shoes problem. Yeah. But if I schedule a class and invite their friends, you know, some of the families with other kids we know, then I have to make time for it.
Yes,
because
accountability.
I've got it on the schedule and I'm accountable to those. And so I'm better prepared, I'm accountable, and I discovered I'm also nicer when I'm teaching groups of kids with my kids and other people.
True.
Because I have said things to my children that I would never say to other people's children.
Of course.
In that environment, my kids, you know, get to see the best part of me, you know, the really good teacher part of
me.
And then they also get the positive peer pressure. Like, you know, if other people's children are going to do the homework and have it on time, well, they better do it too. And it's not me getting angry. It's their friends looking at them like, what? He's your dad and you didn't even do it?
Yes.
So I've taught lots of things. I've taught, of course, writing classes. I've taught Latin. I enjoyed that. I've taught really kind of some obscure things like economics and aesthetics. Mm-hmm. I taught geometry 1 year, even though I didn't really want to, but it came out okay. I've done Shakespeare, book club, lots and lots of book clubs. Mm. And what I always say to, you know, other dads is you don't have to know everything. Mm-hmm. If you want to teach something and learn along with your kids, that's totally valid.
Yes.
I started teaching Latin and I didn't know any Latin. And I had to work a little harder than they did, you know, stay a few lessons ahead and do the prep work. But I loved it. It was so good for me.
Ah.
And I wanted to teach aesthetics to teenagers because, honestly, their sense of style and taste was just pretty unrefined, and it was hard to explain to them in short little blips of conversation why that isn't beautiful, even though it might be cool. And so I got a textbook and a course. I did research online, and you know, and then there's things I do know better that I could teach. But I would say to the dads, you know, it doesn't matter what you teach. It doesn't have to be, you know, an academic subject that you're going to put on a transcript.
Yeah.
If you know a little bit about fluid dynamics or how to identify plants, or if you just want to do an, you know, a health class, or if you want to teach them a little bit about electronics, you know, whatever you know,
I love it.
You can teach, and they will love being in that environment with you. They're having a few other kids, you know, maybe two or three of your own, plus half a dozen of others, gives you a nice little group, and it will be one of the best experiences you have as a dad, because you'll remember that they will remember that and when they're gone and away from home, that's one of the things they're going to think, oh, that class that dad taught us.
Absolutely.
You know, if you're homeschooling, mom teaches everything and that's fine, that's wonderful, but that one thing that dad taught us, that'll stick.
Oh, I love that. I mean, I'm thinking there's men out there who maybe want to teach auto mechanics or, like you said, you know, gardening, something that you know more about than your kids do. You can just be one step ahead. I think that's fantastic. And I agree. I think kids feel proud of their dad then too.
You don't have to feel, like you need to know teaching in order to teach.
Right.
You know, teaching is the overflow of the soul of the teacher to the student. Mm. And so if you love art and you're good at it, you don't have to know how you're going to teach it. You just have to start sharing that with them in kind of the way you learned it whenever you did. And the, you know, your natural inclination, the gift of being a parent will allow you to be a good teacher for your children. You don't have to feel like you know everything in advance or that you know how to teach like a professional. You'll do really well. It'll work. I promise you.
I think that's a great word for the moms as well, who are maybe on the fence thinking about homeschooling. And I think that's an important thing to keep in mind for anybody who wants to teach their kids something. So I love that. And are some of your kids teaching their own kids now? How many grandkids do you have?
Well, I have 16 grandchildren, and the three girls that have school-age children are homeschooling their kids. The largest family with the oldest grandchildren, he's actually a pastor. He is an Orthodox priest. And so he has the freedom to teach his kids. And of course, she appreciates that a lot. And he's really into the philosophy, theology, history stuff.
Wow.
So he's started to do exactly that, teach some classes to other kids in his parish and his own children.
Wow.
And so that's going pretty well, as far as I can tell.
Amazing.
And then the next family, they live close by me. And they run a grass-fed beef operation.
Awesome.
So their two oldest kids actually spend a lot of time in the field helping dad, move cattle and fix fences and haul stuff. But because they live close to me, I'm actually going to go back into business and start classes for my grandchildren, their cousins, and some of their friends.
Incredible.
This next school year. So I'm going to go for another round of maybe 6 years of Latin if I can last that long.
Incredible. Wow.
And then the third girl, she's got the youngest of the average age is the youngest, and they're really just getting started with the school stuff. But I know that her husband is very much wanting to carve out time and do things with their boys. She's got three boys. So
incredible.
Yep. And then my youngest daughter, her kids are very young still. Mm-hmm. And then my son, he's expecting his first child. They're having, I think, August, a boy. So they're coming fast and furious.
Wow. You will keep very busy for a long time, I have a feeling.
Well, better busy than bored. And I will Absolutely. Say that having grandchildren really motivates you to take care of yourself, eat right, get exercise.
Yeah.
Keep your muscle mass. There's actually a built-in old age exercise program called wrestling with and keeping up with grandchildren. So,
oh, that's awesome. Well, it's been fun to follow you on your health journey as well. And I will be linking in show notes to where everyone can find IEW, your podcast. Where else can people track you down? Where do you like to hang out if people want to just get to know you better?
Well, I post on Facebook in just my name, Andrew Pudua. I post little videos on both Instagram and TikTok. My youngest daughter is my social media manager. That's my personal stuff.
Yeah.
And then IEW also has an Instagram, and we try to populate that pretty much. And I'm not as prolific as you are in terms of books, I do have one book that it took 20 years to write, and I don't know I'm going to do it again. It's actually just a collection of articles and essays that I wrote over a couple decades, all collected one volume called However Imperfectly, Lessons Learned from 30 Years of Teaching. So that's available as well.
Yes, I'll be linking to that as well. And if anyone listening has the chance to come see you when you speak in their area, you travel a lot, speak all over probably the world, but I know I got to finally meet you here in Hawaii, so loved having you here. But I highly recommend people track you down and sit in, bring your husband and sit in and get to listen, right?
I love it when dads are in the room.
Yeah.
The more dads in the audience, the more excited I am about the fact that there are dads in the audience.
Yes. Oh, so good. Well, my husband's a fan. And one day when you're on island, we're going to get you up to the country to hang out with us here. But Andrew, happy Father's Day to you. Thank you for sharing with us today. I know a lot of dads will be inspired and encouraged. So just thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me, Monica. Keep up the good boy mom stuff.
Well, dads and moms, I hope you are encouraged by that conversation. And there will be links to IEW and all the different things we talked about in show notes, which can be found at monicaswanson.com/Andrew-Poudewa, spelled P-U-D-E-W-A. And now, while we're on that topic of homeschooling, I want to make sure you know about another of our favorite curriculums, which my boys all use in middle school and high school, which is Shorman Math and Science, found at diveintomath.com. Shorman Math is based on John Saxon's proven teaching methods of continual review and the integration of algebra and geometry. And what's really great is that Shorman Algebra 1 and 2 teaches every concept on the PSAT, SAT, and ACT with over 200 practice questions. My boys loved using Shorman Math because they had a shorter week, shorter lessons, and yet they learned so much. And my two now college graduates would say that the Shorman Math and Science courses prepared them so well for their science and math classes in college, and they both studied math and science topics, engineering and data analytics, so I think that means a lot. Now, you can go over to diveintomath.com to check out everything they have. Their customer service is great, and I think you're going to love it. All right, friends, thank you so much for being here. I hope you have a wonderful Father's Day week. Celebrate well, and we'll be back with more great episodes next week and throughout the whole summer. So keep coming back. Have a wonderful rest of your week. And until next time, aloha.